continue. My name is Joe Crummy, and have the privilege of speaking this morning. And we're going to continue here in a moment from the book of Joshua. And so thank you again for being with us. And to say for our church family, just Ryan and Mark and Debbie Rushworth are with our dear friends in Charlottetown serving at Christ Community Church this morning. So we're cheering them on. And we as a church family have been walking through the book of Joshua. And we've been going right through, and today we're going to hit chapter 8 here in a moment. But first, just a quick review. And as we've been learning, as God's been taking his people and Joshua's leader from wilderness to promised land, and guess what they faced? They faced a lot of opposition, obstacles, battles, and God's been teaching them and preparing them and helping them to trust him. And we have been learning as a church family, individually and together, some of the same spiritual principles from back then to our lives today, in our own lives, in our family, and as a church family. And so we've been learning some of the different things that as we battle things, that God gives us weapons that aren't of this world. They're supernatural things like worship that help us persevere. We learned last week about this whole issue of how sin has consequences. And so we talked about that definition of sin, of disobeying God, rebelling against God. And if we go to one of the slides, this is kind of a great definition of sin that Tim Keller talked about. And to me, it just helps reframe sin. Sin is what we do when we're not satisfied with God. And so that makes you think a little bit, doesn't it? So did anyone, I know I did, this week, even battling in heart sometimes, just not being satisfied with God, so you're tempted to do other things to fill that void or that need. And it's a battle, folks. We're in a spiritual battle. But the good news is this, and we looked at last week, God has made a way. God has made a way for us not to be under slavery to addictions and sin and powerful things that bring negative consequences, not to ourselves, but we looked at what happens to our lives affects other people around us. But hallelujah! And we've been thinking about this morning that God has given Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, that he took the penalty for sin upon him. He took the justice that we want for other people who sin against us. That was all paid on the cross. And we looked at this process. If we confess our sins one to another, God comes and grants freedom. It's the grace of God. God grants forgiveness and that we can have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. It's amazing what God has done. So this week, we're going to take a look at chapter 8. And as we start, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever, at some point in your life, been given a second chance to do something that maybe you didn't do well on the first time? I see a bunch of hands. I am not going to embarrass you and ask you what it was. Okay? So you can, but many of us, maybe we failed a test. Maybe, I know for some of us, we failed or didn't pass our driver's test and just had to take it again. There's all kinds of things in sports, in life, in school. But how did you feel when you had a second chance? Can you help me out with that one? I heard a woohoo, so that one, I'll take that as a positive. Anyone else? How did you feel when you got like a second chance? Happy. Excited. Grace, all those different things. So here's one of my favorite stories of a second chance. So you're going to have to really squint to see this one, okay? But this is a hockey card of, I wish I could say my friend, but I've never met Steve Smith. But you got to bear with me, and even if you don't understand hockey, this is a really easy one to understand, okay? So you can come up afterwards and see Steve Smith. This is his hockey card. And Steve Smith, in the 80s, played for the Edmonton Oilers, who are still doing well right now. And in 1986, right about this time, it was Game 7 against Calgary, and whoever won that game made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. And it was pressure, third period, the game's tied, and Steve Smith plays defense, and he was behind his net, and it was tense. Anyway, and Steve Smith did one of the most infamous plays ever in hockey. Does anyone remember what he did? He put it in his own net. And guess what? Edmonton lost the game because he put it by accident in his own net. And they were out, and Calgary went on, and Calgary was defeated by the Montreal Canadiens. So just to complete the story. So, moving right along, guess what happened a year later? Edmonton had another chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they actually won. And guess what the team did for Steve Smith when they won? They gave him the Stanley Cup first to hoist above everything because he got a second chance. It really is an incredible story. He had to wait a whole year. But wow, what a powerful story. This morning, as we're going to read Joshua chapter 8, the people of God got a second chance. And so let's read this story. Now, chapter 8 is a long chapter. So forgive me, but I'm going to skip a few parts, and you can read along with me. We're going to read the beginning of chapter 8. We're going to read the end of chapter 8, and kind of what is read in the first eight verses happens. So we're going to skip over that part, and it's like restricted reading, okay? So it's above PG-13, so I'm going to skip it, and that will provoke your curiosity to read chapter 8 this week. How's that? So I'm going to read this through. So it should be up on the screen here in a second. Joshua 8, verses 1 to 8, we read this. And I'll read it through because it's long. So you can read it out loud if you want, but I'll read through it. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai." So remember last week, they were to attack the city, Achan sinned, and it didn't go well. They were actually defeated. And so this is part B, after they dealt with the sin. God says, "For I have delivered in your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men. So remember last week, they're just like, oh, it's going to be easy. We'll just send a few thousand people. He says, "Set his best fighting men, sent them out at night with these orders. Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you be on the alert. I and all those with me will advance on the city. And when the men come out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city. For they will say, 'They're running away as they did before.' So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it you have my orders." So verses 9 to 30 is they did that, and they won the victory. And this is what happens after that victory, verses 30 to 35. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what was written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. There, in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua wrote on stones a copy of the law of Moses. All the Israelites, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing the Levitical priests who carried it. Both the foreigners living among them and the native-born were there. Half the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had formally commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people. So that, they were between, so it's kind of like an amphitheater. That's why you get that, everyone can hear. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Whew. So, we have this second chance, we have some redemption, we have a new day. And here's just some of the principles we want to look at this morning from that passage that can apply to us today. First one is this. Okay, and this is going to be a bit tricky, so let me just give a bit of a preamble. So today's message, I've just titled this, it's the blessings of obeying God. Now, it's interesting that some of the songs we sang in worship and how Taylor explained some of this. This is sort of a dangerous title to put on a message. The blessings of obeying God. Because our expectations when we hear that can be different from what we're going to flesh out here this morning. So just a couple of preambles. One is, God's given common grace to all of creation. So Jesus said this, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. So all of us are blessed, whether we believe in God, we might even hate God. God gives us breath and life, whether we acknowledge that or not. So there's some general, we live in the blessing of God. However, we can't get away from the principle all the way through Scripture is this. If we obey God, there comes blessing. Now, what we need to flesh out is, and this is what we're going to do, is we sometimes have a one-track mind for what we think blessing is going to be. And we need to maybe expand our definition of what the blessing of God is. And here's the most, number one, for restoration. So I don't know if I put this up here, but here's the definition, sorry. Restoration is this, the action of returning to a former owner, place, or condition. Let me say that again. Restoration is the action of returning to a former owner, place, or condition. So here we go. The people of Israel are given a second chance to go and do what they were supposed to do the first time, but sin and disobedience caused negative consequences, and they were defeated. God gives them a second chance to go and do. And folks, here's the most incredible thing for us in New Testament time, from Jesus being on earth forward, is this. The greatest obeying we can do with God is God sent His Son, Jesus, for us to put our faith and trust in, to follow, and that's how we get right with God. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so simple. God's like, I'm sending you Jesus, believe and trust in Him. He's the one. And we make it so complicated. But folks, the biggest blessing you can have on planet Earth and for the rest of your life and into eternity is to have a relationship with your Creator. And Jesus, as Gary just said in worship, Jesus came and said, I'm the way, the truth, and all. You want to know the Father? You want to know your Creator? You want to know your Maker? You want to get back in relationship with God? I've come as God's Son to make a way. I am the way. Folks, the most obedient thing you can do is follow what the Bible says. And the Bible says, to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, to humble ourselves and say, I can't get to God on my own, I don't deserve it. All the things we talked about last week, how my sin separates me from God, even if I think I'm a good person, if the Bible, like, if we even lust once, if we even lie once, all those things, we are separated from God. It gets even worse. We're born in our lineage, what the Bible says in the first male and female, Adam and Eve, we're born in Adam, and Adam disobeyed God, and that lineage comes right down to us. David even said, oh, David said, even in my mother's womb I was sinful. Like, we're born with the propensity to be selfish. And how do we get out of that? Jesus said, the only way you can get out of that is for you to be born again. He said to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus is saying, how does that work? And Jesus saying, you need to be born of my Spirit. You need such a restoration to be brought back into ownership with God, who's not only just God, but God our Father. We need God's Spirit to be born in us. And God does that. God saves us. Folks, that's the biggest restoration story there is. We, the Bible says so many times, we who were enemies of God become friends of God. We're restored. We who were children of darkness now become children of light. That's the greatest restoration. So the biggest blessing you can have is like, man, if I only knew how to obey God, I want to be blessed. Folks, it is so simple, yet supernatural. Put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus. That is how we're restored. That is the biggest blessing that you can ever have. Jesus said, if you believe in me, I'm going to give you life, abundant life, that is going to lead to eternal life. It goes beyond just this world that we live in. Folks, that's the biggest restoration. yourself a Christian here this morning. And I just say there's good news here this morning. That if you want a second chance, maybe a millionth chance, God gives it through His grace. We get what we don't deserve through Jesus. And I just encourage you, we can talk more about putting our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning already, this is what can happen as well. And we see this with the people of God. Sin leads to, a lot of times, we stop hearing from God. So there's a partition. When we sin, sometimes, and people say this, you know what, like, we just kind of know sometimes if we've done wrong, when we sin, when we've blown it, whatever, you just kind of feel like distant from God a lot of times. You're just like, man, I'm just not hearing from God. Now, let me just put the little asterisk. A lot of times we can obey God, and God can still seem silent. So don't get me wrong. However, there's kind of a general principle that when we sin, you just kind of know you're not in the right relationship. You don't lose your sonship, you're still a child of God, but we have that in relationships here on earth, don't we? You know, spouse, you get in a fight with your spouse, like there's just like a wall there until one of us kind of humbles ourselves and says, hey, you know, I'm sorry. That happens in all kinds of different relationships. The relationship gets restored. What we see here is when sin was dealt with, all of a sudden what happens? God speaks. Joshua hears God's voice again. Verses 1 and 2, it's like God saying, Joshua, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. It's the same thing He spoke to Joshua back in chapter 1. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Isn't it wonderful when we get restored and we hear God's voice again? It's amazing. Oh, hallelujah. I can hear God again. Now, some of you might think, how do I hear from God? Okay? I had this experience this week. Gary and I were away this week. We took a day just to get away, pray, seek God together. And we did an overnight. And we got up early in the morning, that morning, and we went for a walk. And as you know, Gary's a birder. Is that what you call it? A birder. Like, it's just a bird watcher. Like, it's a little weird, okay? But I'm with Gary, and I'm preferring him. So we go for a walk, and Gary's got his phone with an app on it, and he's got his, I won't get into it. He's got this big camera, and I'm just along for the ride, so to speak. And as we're walking, Gary's like, did you hear that? And I'm like, no. Did you hear that one? And he's got his phone, and he's heard about 10 different birds. I've heard none of them. Now, here's the interesting thing. Gary's got us on his phone. This is like the American warbler and wobbler and all these different things. And I'm just like, oh, that's a cardinal. I did get that one. Got that one. And here's the thing. Guess what? Those birds were singing the whole time. And I didn't hear them. Gary did. Because Gary's lone. And he's tuned his ear to hear. He heard 10 of them. I didn't even hear one. Folks, it wasn't even like I heard them and I couldn't tell which one they were. I didn't even hear them. Folks, God's speaking all the time. In 10 different ways. And if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, we're just oblivious. And we can complain. I went out for a walk this morning, the birds weren't even singing. They were. I just haven't learned to even recognize, first of all, that they're there. Second, that I can just stop and begin to learn. And here's the body of Christ. I learn from Gary how to hear, and I begin to recognize the different things. Folks, that's why we need each other. First of all, we need to be restored to God. Relationship with Jesus so that we can even hear God's voice. But even as we become a Christian and we learn, it's still a process and it's a journey right up to the day we die of discerning and learning to hear God's voice and begin to say, I think that's God. And we begin to hear through His Word, through the preaching of His Word, in life groups, in our families, as kids. We begin to learn and hear, God was speaking all the time. I need to learn to attune my ears. As soon as sin was dealt with and they had a second chance, the first thing that happens is God speaks. Joshua,
go forward, arrive, go, complete the job. Folks, when we get a second chance, when we're restored with God, we get to hear God's voice. And we're going to see in the second part, it's really key to hear God's voice because, I'll jump ahead. Second thing is this, the obedience of obeying God leads to reward. Verse 2, God said, this time, you can keep all the plunder and livestock. Because what happened back at Jericho when they first went? What happened to Jericho? They defeated, and what did God say? That's exactly it. They defeated Jericho, and God said this, everything, all the plunder, everything that you take, it's to be consecrated, it's to be devoted to God. And what did Achan do? Achan saw all this gold, silver, all these things he'd never had before, and he's like, ah, I want it now. Hit it. Sin, consequence. Again, you're just saying, oh, Achan had only waited a couple more days, right? God says this time, hey, the plunder is all yours. Now, folks, here's what I was getting to before. In the Old Testament, it's very clear. You can read it in Leviticus. You can read it in Deuteronomy and that. God says very clearly there are blessings for obeying God, and there's curses if you disobey. That's the general principle. And it was very specific. So if you read them, I mean, it's pretty powerful. It's like, hey, if you obey me, you'll always be the head. You'll never be the tail. You'll always be wealthy. You're going to be prosperous. Fruit of womb, fruit crops, animals are going to be blessed. Like, it's pretty, like, well, there's actually more curses. But if you disobey me, you're going to go into captivity, all these powerful things. Well, what happens is, Jesus comes along, New Testament, and Jesus is saying, okay, he introduces kind of a new thing. Jesus says this, just be content with, you know, a roof over your head, clothes, and some food. But really what's more important is storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. And Jesus introduced this and he says, so remember we talked about sin last week being a secret? Jesus flipped it on its head and said this, passionate, when you pray in secret and no one else even knows, guess what? My Father sees. And you're going to get rewarded someday in heaven for what you did in secret. Folks, when you give money secretly, to someone and you help them out and just say, hey, someone just gave me $20 to help you and everything like that. And you're like, oh man, no. It's given in secret and your heart's in the right place. But Jesus said, your Father sees that and you're going to get rewarded in heaven. Now, folks, this is a real test for us here on planet Earth right now because we're very much and we're wired and our culture tells us, me, me, me. Like, I want to take, I want to have more. Like, that's just how we're wired. And we all know it, right? If I just had a little bit more money, I'd be happy. And if we get more money, what do we say? If I had just a little bit more, if I can just get this, if I can just get one more thing, and we get it and we're like, oh, actually, if I can just get one more thing. And what we do, whether consciously or unconsciously or subconsciously, both in the world and in church, we read the Old Testament promises and we literally think they're for us today. Now, please hear me. This is where it gets a little bit tricky. But we read Old Testament and we say, God, if I obey you, you said, I will be healthy, wealthy, prosperous, everything. We have to contrast that with Jesus, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When he came on earth, we read, he humbled himself, and he said, I don't have a place to lay my head. And he was poor, and he didn't have anything. And if you read into the New Testament, that sort of happened with most people who followed Jesus. It wasn't health and wealth and prosperity, not here on earth. Paul, you're going to have to endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul Paul today and say, hey, I've learned what it is to be content with a lot and with nothing. I'm in Jesus. So folks, New Testament, we've got to focus more on, and Paul said this in Ephesians, we've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. So folks, again, this is a hard word, but are we satisfied that the biggest blessing we have is that we're forgiven through Jesus and that we're restored in the relationship with God? And if we have nothing else, that's everything. That God's with us here on earth. That even through mountains and valleys, even where the Lord gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know he's faithful. I know he's with me. And no matter what happens here, rains are going to come, storms are going to come, but I'm storing up for myself a treasure in heaven. Because we read this verse in 1 Timothy, Paul's instruction. We read this a few weeks ago when I talked on giving from 1 Timothy 6. And I find it so interesting. This is where we need to learn to hear God's voice. Because Jesus said to some people, come and follow me and give away everything. And to other people, he didn't say that at all. And you're like, that's why it's so adventurous to follow Jesus, because you don't know what he's going to say sometimes. So Paul, here, he's talking to some rich people, and he doesn't say to them, all of you, I want you to sell everything and give it all away. What does he say? He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. So there's one lesson. Okay, if you're rich, don't be arrogant. Nor to put their hope in wealth. It can be gone tomorrow, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God. So there's first. Who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Now think about that verse for a minute. Paul's saying, God provides us, and everything God provides us, guess what? It can be for our enjoyment. So God's not a stingy poverty God. So if he's given you a home, you can be hospitable and you can use it for your enjoyment to help. Those are things. So it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Folks, if we're all poor and in poverty, we can't really help too many other people. So some God's given us stewards, finances, resources, what? To be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. Hallelujah. In this way, they lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's why we want to be a generous people, because we're storing up treasures in heaven. And God's provided. And folks, it's all grace. Do we know that? Like, we think, I'm so self-sufficient. Pat myself on the back. I'm a self-made millionaire. Like, God gives you breath. God's giving you a brain. God's giving you a personality. Like, that's common grace. Of God. And God has entrusted, and God has, as we talked about last month, we're stewards of what God has given to us. So folks, we can look at storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And Taylor said it. We might be singing that song and say, God, you've not failed me yet. And you're kind of going like, well, God, you know what? Like, I think you kind of have, like, if we're honest. We've got to reframe and say, God, what does reward look like? Most of it is we're storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Most of it is how do we hear God's voice to know what the Spirit is saying? So can I give you a real life example of those first two? I'm trying to hear God's voice and God's provision, but also going, God, not my will, but your will be done. So I shared last week for us as a church family, we're trying to get these renovations done. We're almost there. I say that hopefully. We're getting there, and you guys have been patient, and we haven't had bathrooms, and we haven't had kids work, and all these different things for like the last 6 months, and before that, and everything, and everyone's given gift days, and so here's where we were 10, 12 days ago as a leadership in our church, and we put out the video last week for you to know. So we had a budget of about $750,000. We had, before we started, about $450,000 that people, most of it came from you, generously giving over the years, gift day, all of those things. And we were able example, God's provision, a $300,000 loan that we're able to pay back at very low interest over time to give us the $750,000. God, you provide it. We moved ahead. We're going all in. Washrooms, multi-purpose room, lift, washrooms upstairs, everything. So, in the last 4 weeks, all of a sudden, we had some extra costs. City said you need to do some extra things we weren't planning for, etc. Building costs went up. Some of the electrical bills and everything that we didn't really have a budget for because the old building, you open up, you don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, so we were at our elders meeting a week and a half ago, and this is the reality we are facing. Is in the next 30 days, we had $110,000 in bills that we need to pay in the next 30 days, and we are down to $30,000 in the bank, and we probably have another $150,000 to go to finish the job. That's just where we were. So we're wrestling through, and if you can put yourself in our shoes, this tension of, we believe by faith, we're to complete this job. We need to complete this job. Because if we stop, most of what we're going for isn't even done, and we can't use it. However, 110 minus 30, and another 150 go, that's some serious coin. And I'm wrestling through for myself, you know what, like, if it, a certain amount, like, we'll go by faith, and if it doesn't come in, I won't get paid. Like, I'm willing to take that. But this is beyond me just not getting paid. This is like Emma not getting paid, and Mark not getting paid, and Lloyd, our contractor, not getting paid, and other people not getting paid. Like, that's a big responsibility. And so we just stopped talking, and we prayed for a couple of hours. And at the end of that prayer time, we felt two things. Is we need a sign by God. This is a week ago Tuesday. We need a sign by God by Friday, whether we continue or we need to stop. Because we're already behind on the bills we already have, let alone keep going. And we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be presumptuous. We don't want to be bad stewards. We need a sign by Friday. And we said what we're going to do is we're going to ask our friends at other churches if they could pray for us and help. So I sent a video out on Wednesday. Sent it across to churches in Canada, U.S., literally around the world. And the primary thing is, we're in a crunch. Can you please pray? And if you're able to give anything, great. I sent a video out to us as a church family on Thursday. And then it's Friday. So this is like a week ago Friday. So by Friday noon, nothing. So I'm thinking Friday noon, I'm going to 11:59 tonight. Like, we need it. And what we didn't say is, we never told anyone we're looking for a sign by Friday. We just kept that amongst ourselves. Now, folks, here's the thing. And this is what makes following God adventurous and a little bit stressful. Is we have to be ready for God to say, stop. Even though everything within us is like, we want to keep going. Because God might have things he wants to work out in us by stopping. That even though it would be frustrating and, to be honest, embarrassing, but God might have things that we're not aware of, that we're not looking at, and so we have to be willing to be able to say, you know what, folks, I'll get up on Sunday, we've run out of money, we need to stop, I don't like it, but we feel God said to wait. We have to be ready for that, and the whole thing loosely, and our pride has to come down and say, Lord, at the end of the day, not my will, but yours be done. At the same time, we're also like, God, you've given us promises. We believe this is for your good. We believe we're supposed to finish. Lord, we're asking you, would you provide? And we're asking God, would you give us a sign whether to continue? And the sign isn't if money comes in. The sign is just, we just need to hear your voice. If no money comes in, but we hear you say, keep going, we're going to keep going. If you say, stop, we're going to be willing to stop. So by Friday noon, nothing. And we prayed a lot on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And early Friday afternoon, in the office, someone came in. And I'm so not expecting anything from this person. We're just having a normal conversation. And they said, so how's your week been? And I said, oh, did you see the video that I sent out yesterday? And they're like, what video? And I said, well, I sent out this video because we had a tough week. I explained everything just what I explained to you, with minus the we need to sign by Friday. I just shared, these are the facts, we're trying to seek God and everything. And they were just like, well, that's interesting. And I just took an envelope of their jacket, slid it across the table, and said, I've been wrestling with this for a month, but I feel this is what I'm supposed to do. All I ask is that you just keep it anonymous. Folks, I'm not expecting anything. The person even leaves. I haven't even opened it. So the person leaves, and I open the envelope, and there's a check for $100,000 in the envelope. I'm shocked. I am. I'm shocked. And it's a very humbling thing. And he said, to God be the glory that someone gave that money anonymously, humble, and didn't even know the severity of our need. Mark, Paulie, Gary, and in the Mark Rushworth sense of humor way, the first thing he said was, do you think this is a sign? Some British humor for you. We took it as a sign that we're to continue. And folks, that is the adventure of following Jesus. But folks, we have to be just as much sharing that story as God had said no, and we need to wait. I'm sorry, I don't know how long it's going to be, but we're going to keep worshiping Jesus. Now, praise God. We do believe that is an incredible answer to prayer that allowed us to be able to pay our bills, that freed up, we were able to pay our heating ventilation. We're able to get $37,000 back from MB Power for the rebate, which we need to put towards. We're still going to keep praying. We had some more money come in this week. A church graciously has given us a gift of $10,000 as we put out that need. So folks, God's providing, and it's encouraging. But the most important thing is we have a relationship with God, and we can hear God, and we can obey God. Now, folks, all that, I hope you hear my heart in this. Obedience and blessing from God doesn't always look like what we think it is, but yet, somehow, God's such a blessing God, he still blesses us, that you just can't get away from the blessing of God. But we can't be presumptuous, and for that person, an individual who gave, the rewards in heaven, because no one knows ever will ever know who that person is. But they're storing up for themselves treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. So thank you for your prayers. I'm out of time, so all I'm going to say for the next one is this, the third one, very briefly, and we'll end with this because I've gone over, is that we saw at the end, the blessings of obeying God, they were restored in their relationship with God. They were given rewards. They were given the plunder. Again, we're going more for heavenly rewards. And we see this, there was a renewal that took place. They renewed their commitment to God. And what was central in that? They read the word of God. So they obeyed. Joshua obeyed exactly what Moses had said in Deuteronomy 27. So if you go back to Deuteronomy 27, God gave instructions to Moses. And Moses said to the people, when you enter the promised land, this is what you're supposed to do. You are going to rewrite the law. You're going to get between these two mountains, and half of you are going to be on this side, and half of you are going to be this side, and we're going to read out God's covenant to us. And that's exactly what they did. And they had an altar, so they brought their sacrifices. That's the worship. The ark was there in their presence, in their midst. The presence of God was in their midst, and they honored the word of God. They wrote it down, they spoke it out, and their God's word was central. And folks, when we're God speaks is through his word, his written word. And there's a renewal that comes with, like, I love God's word. And so one of the most central things of hearing God's voice is this. It lines up with God's word. God's word is a standard. So if we feel God's given us a prophetic word, a dream, anything that goes against what's written in God's word, we know that no matter how emotional we feel it was or anything like that, it has to submit to the word of God. So everything submits to the word of God because that's our authority. Now we have to learn to correctly handle the word of God, and it gets a little bit complicated because we know there's different genres in the word of God, and there's poetry, and there's history, and we got to learn some of these things. We got to learn what does God, you know, say from Genesis all the way to Revelation. How does Jesus fit in there? We have the Holy Spirit as our guide, all those different things. Speaks through his word. So I skipped over it, shouldn't I? But, you know, Galatians 6, you know, if anyone is caught in sin, those who are led by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Like that instruction, the psalmist is able to say, Psalm 13, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. We're blessed. Just because our sins are forgiven, we're blessed. All these things come from God's word. And what's amazing is, everybody heard God's word. Everyone. So like, hey, you're a foreigner. You just joined us because you didn't want to get killed. And you're like, I'll line up with you guys. I'll come with you. You're hearing God's word. Men, women, young, old, everybody hearing God's word together. And folks, these are some of the principles that we try to live out today. That's why we preach God's word. That's why we read it out together. Because we're following some of those principles. God's word's important. We do that in our life groups. We do that in our families. We do that with our school, middle school, high school. We do it in our kids. And folks, let me just end with this. Is that we know the last year or two, we've been deficient on some of our things for kids' church, for school, just because we haven't had the leaders. We've had not space to meet all those different things. And we've been seeking God. We've been addressing those things, everything. And so since Jody Ward's full-time at FCA. Jody had been for many years part-time with us, primarily overseeing our kids' church and doing some other things as well. And we haven't had that for the last year and a half. And that's one of the things we've been trying to address to say, you know, we need to pour more resources. And as this building gets renovated and things like that, like, we can have the whole building renovated, but if we don't have a team of people to serve, like, we're still not using it. So we've been seeking God and felt like God kept giving us someone, but because of the circumstances of life, just didn't ask this person until in the last month and just having conversations. And so it's with great joy this morning I get to share with you that we've created a part-time position for our church, primarily the kids' church, but also some other things to do with family life and everything that we can begin to rebuild some of these things for kids' church. And so it's with great joy to announce that Krista Rich is going to be with us in that role. So if you saw Krista leave a half hour ago, it wasn't because I was making that announcement. She's actually working another job right now till the end of June that she has to work some Sundays. And so she was here for worship time ahead to go, but she'll be joining us after the church weekend in that part-time role. And so we're so thrilled that Krista said yes. And as we share with Krista, Krista's been serving with our church and with kids and youth for years and years and years, and has a real heart and gifting for administration. And we don't want her doing everything. We need her to build teams and to pour in. But what a heart for God, a heart for our church, a heart for our kids. And so obviously with Graham's recent passing, that's been a delicate thing of wanting and looking for that, but how does that get worked out? And so just having those conversations over the last number of weeks. So I honor Krista and just being willing to consider this and pray through and talk through. And so we're thrilled to be able to have her in that key role. And I know we're going to help her in that. Okay, why don't we stand? I just wanted to be able to share that this morning. Kelly and team are going to come. Thank you. I know that was a little bit long this morning, but felt we needed an update on those two key things. And I just want to pray into this whole aspect of just just God's help in us obeying God. Because folks, you need to hear last week. So this is kind of a two-parter. So if you missed last week, you might have missed the key thing that God helps us to obey him. It's not just like pull yourself together, obey. No. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. God gives us his Holy Spirit. God gives us his word. God gives us each other to help us. God gives us a new heart. God puts new desires in us. God brings power to free us from addiction to sin. God renews our mind by his word. So folks, you're not in it alone to say, oh, God, I want. No, God helps us. And as we read last week from 1 John, John says, I'm writing to this so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, we have one who's our advocate, our defender. He comes before the Father and says, Joe Crumley, even though he messed up, he's in me. And I've taken his sin to the cross. And he confessed his sin. And God, you're faithful and just to forgive it because I dealt with it. And we're going to cleanse Joe Crumley from all sin. And we're going to free him up from any sin that might have entangled him. And we're going to empower him to run the race that I have marked out for him so he can bring glory to you and be a blessing to those around him. That's not just true for me, that's true for everyone. But folks, there are blessings that come from obeying God. Most of them are spiritual. They overflow into the physical. But they lead to the eternal. So Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Your presence here. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that the greatest blessing is to be restored into relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you that you give us your Spirit, you put us in a family. Thank you, give us your word. Father, you give us so many rewards that, Lord, one day we're going to bow down before you and we're going to cast our crowns and we're going to lay all these rewards before you and say, Lord, you're worthy of it all. But God, help us, Lord, to desire to store up treasures in heaven now. Lord, would you give us a renewed passion for your word, for the things of God. Lord, help us in all these things, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship you.